Praise the Lord. The hallelujah that brings escape. You escape in Jesus' name. And for those who have escaped already, you escape of a permanent. And we grow from this level, higher level, higher level, higher level in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and bless your name. Great, mighty God, loving God, and your love plant our escape. Now you have brought us together here at the Alpha location and online. Lord, I pray everyone will escape completely tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Tonight, we're looking at the great escape again. Not just the great escape, my great escape, your great escape, our great escape. Now, why has God planned and effected and accomplished and giving us the great escape? He has a purpose in mind. That's why tonight we're looking at the great purpose of our great escape. The great purpose of our great escape. In Romans chapter 2, reading from verse 3. Romans 2, verse 3. Or thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That verse gives us the word escape. He's been talking about people all over the world, people who by nature have been doing evil. He's been talking about the people from chapter 1 of Romans. He said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not like to retain the commandments of God in their lives. They did not like to retain, thus says the Lord, in their lives. And then he goes on to say, to itemize the evil, bad, sinful, terrible things they were doing. And he said, there is judgment on the people that do such things, and there is judgment. Judgment now, judgment tomorrow, judgment in life, judgment in eternity for the people that do such things. But he said they are not just doing that, they also have pleasure in them that do those evil things. Then he comes to chapter 2. In chapter 2, he talks about the people that judge. Now in verse 3, he now says, do you think, O man, that judges another, and yet yourself, you do the same thing? It's like we preachers judge. Because when we preach, we say, evil is bad. That's judging. We say, sin is damning. That's judging. We say that whether you do it in the private or in the public, that sin will damn your soul. That's judging. But it says, O man, O preacher, O reader of the Bible, you judge and you say sin will damn the soul. and you do the same thing, would you believe there are preachers? Would you believe there are religious people? You judge and judge and judge, and yet they do the same thing that they judge. There are ordinary people too. Everybody judges. Why is he doing that? Why is he like that? Why is he sitting there? We judge, and it says, if you judge and you do the same thing, do you think you will escape the judgment of God? Thank God we can escape. Thank God I can escape. You know, when you really, really and truly escape, you will not be judging others. You'll be judging yourself. In fact, for us to escape, I have to judge myself. I've been going in that direction. I judge myself. That is not right. When you stop judging other people and you start judging yourself, that already opens the door and the way of escape. Now, when you judge yourself and you say that is bad, you say that is evil, it is at that moment you turn away from that which is evil, and now you turn to the Lord, your Savior. Then you remember that your sin, your evil, had been judged on Christ. He laid your sin upon him. It is that you now concentrate the searchlight of judgment on yourself. And you are thinking, if I do not accept Christ, believe in Christ, who has borne my judgment, who has borne my damnation, then I'll have to bear that sin, bear the judgment, not only here, but over there on the other side. So you stop judging your concern. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. We don't take that goodness for granted. It's good. He healed me. That should lead me to repentance. He is good. He has delivered me. That should lead me to repentance. He is good in spite of my bad life, in spite of my evil character, in spite of my waywardness, in spite of the evil bad things that I've gone to do. God, the God of goodness, the God of grace, and the God of the gospel, he gave me salvation, he gave me healing, he gave me deliverance. He says, I should remember that goodness of God, that grace of God, that good news from God that healed, that deliver, that keeps me alive, that keeps you alive, is to lead you to repentance. The purpose of God in showing us his grace, the purpose of God in showing us his goodness, the purpose of God in bringing blessings into our lives is so that, number one, there'll be repentance. It's so that if I have battered the lives of other people, if I have taken their necessities, the necessities of life from them. And now I have the goodness of God, I have the mercy of God, I have the forgiveness of God, I have the favor of God. That favor, that goodness will make me to remember the people I hurt, the people I took their property violently, and the people that suffered as a result of my bad life. And the goodness God has shown me, I show it now to the people that have cheated, and I restore to them the things I took from them. We call it restitution. Your conscience will remind you that this evil you've done to your neighbor, you've got the goodness of God now, you've got the forgiveness of God now, the freedom that comes from Calvary. As a result of that, that goodness will lead you to repentance, that goodness will lead you to restoration. Restoring joy to other people, restoring stolen property to other people, restoring the things, the essentials of life that you took away from them. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Number two, to restitution. The goodness of God leads us the righteousness. That you were unrighteous before, but God says, yes, I will forgive you. Yes, I'll have mercy on you. And that stolen meat you are chewing in your mouth, if you will vomit that, spew that away, and then come, yes, I will have goodness and grace upon your life. And that goodness leads you to righteousness. God is so kind. He has saved me. And now there will be a life of righteousness. God is so kind. He has healed me. There will be a life of righteousness. God is so kind that he delivered you from all the oppression and all the attacks and all the afflictions of the devil, because of that grace, because of that goodness that he manifested in your life. You are now ready for righteousness. There is a purpose for the great escape that the Lord has given us. The purpose, it leads us to repentance, it leads us to restitution, restoration, it leads us to righteousness, it leads us to redemption. Redemption. It is the goodness of God that comes upon our lives that will say, praise the Lord, I'm forgiven. Praise the Lord, I'm set free. Praise the Lord, it's done good in my life. And because of that, I now enjoy the redemption of the Lord. Three things we're looking at. Look at number one. Number one is the graciousness of redemption with guaranteed escape. Redemption with guaranteed escape. As we come to the Lord and we depend on his grace, the grace that saves, the grace that forgives, the grace that sets us free, we understand here is redemption with guaranteed escape. Look at number two. Number two is the guiltiness of refusing the great escape. Here God says, I offer you without any charge. Already Christ paid it all. He paid the charge. He paid the price. He shed his blood. He took the condemnation away. And just by coming to Christ, coming through Christ, and coming totally, totally, totally leaning upon him, depending on him, now he says, you have that grace, that forgiveness, that freedom, that life eternal. If you reject that, if you refuse that, if you neglect that, if you turn your mind away from that graciousness of God, well, you understand, you will be guilty, guilty of refusing salvation, guilty of refusing free forgiveness, guilty of refusing the redemption of the Lord. Number two, the guiltiness of refusing the great escape. I will not refuse. I will not refuse. Praise the Lord. That's why you are here. You want to receive. You don't want to refuse. You want to have. You want to possess. You want to enjoy all that Christ has provided for you on the cross of Calvary. That is why you are here. Because if you refuse, you'll be guilty now. Guilty throughout life, you'll be guilty for all eternity. Number three now. Number three is the goodness we receive with the glorious escape. The goodness, goodness of God. The goodness, goodness guaranteed. The goodness, goodness granted. The goodness, goodness from heaven. The goodness, goodness from the throne of grace. That goodness will receive a glorious escape. Come to number one. Number one, we're looking at the graciousness of redemption with a guaranteed escape. The graciousness of redemption with guaranteed escape. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. It's not something we're looking forward to. As I was looking ahead, a child is born. Actually, a child will be born. The son is given. He was looking ahead, and it did not happen until about 700 years after. He had been looking and looking. But for us today, but for us who live on this side of Calvary, the grace that bringeth salvation has now appeared, has appeared. It's done. The moment Jesus said, it is finished, that moment, that salvation was effected. And now the grace of God, the grace from heaven, the grace as a result of the sacrifice of Christ, that grace now bringeth salvation. Bringeth. That night that Jesus died on the cross, there was one man there, the thief on the cross. The world had judged him, and they hanged him on the cross. They nailed him on the cross. The other fellow too, another thief on the cross. And they were talking. And one said, if you're Jesus, if you're a Savior, why don't you deliver us from this cross? And the other fellow said, why are you talking like that? We are being judged for our sin. We are being judged for our misdeed. But he, Christ, did nothing wrong. Perfect. And he's Lord. And then he called him Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That very moment, even while Christ was on the cross, the grace that brought salvation appeared to that man. And then here comes Peter. And Jesus looked back at him. He had denied the Lord. And he wept profusely and grace came also to him. The grace that brought salvation. And when he rose from the dead, the angel said, go tell his disciples and Peter, the grace that brings forgiveness, freedom, had appeared. Since that time, in Acts chapter 2, the grace that brought that salvation, it continued, bringeth, and 3,000 people, they received that grace, they received the forgiveness, they received the freedom, and since that time, the grace has not been exhausted. Until your time. Amen. Your time. Amen. Your time. Amen. That grace is still there, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation is still there for you. And today, this grace will come upon your life. Amen. The grace that bringeth every time we preach, every time we mention grace, that grace appears and bringeth. And to you tonight, as I mention grace upon your life, I said I mention grace upon your life. And the moment you say, yes, pastor, that's me, preacher, that's me, evangelist, that's me, that grace will bring salvation, forgiveness, and freedom to your life. No matter what guilt you have, no matter what pressure you have, and no matter what condemnation you have, all I need to do is mention grace over your life. And the grace will bring salvation to you. And tonight, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved in Jesus' name. Look at that verse. For the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to how many people? I said how many people? Thank God I am part of that all. I am part of that all. If you are not saved yet, tonight you must be saved. Because God has included you, and you will not exclude yourself. Forgiveness, am I included? God has included you. Salvation, am I included? God has included you. Freedom, the joy of salvation, am I included? God has included you. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, teaching us that when grace comes into our lives, that grace teaches us. There are many, many teachers. And sometimes they say, this man is a good teacher, and he teaches me, but I don't understand what he's teaching. His language, his English, his vocabulary is going over my shoulder. They say, this person teaches well. Well, let him come and teach me. And he's teaching me, and I couldn't get 100% of what he's teaching. Grace is a greater teacher than everybody on earth. Grace is a better teacher than everybody on earth. You see, look at this child. He was almost born in the church. And then you'll be reading the Bible to him. Teachers have been teaching, Sunday school teachers teaching him. And, the children, church teachers teaching him. He didn't understand. That's why he went astray. And then he passes on to the adult church. And these great, great preachers, they have been teaching him. He didn't understand. That's why he didn't get saved. One day, he just turned away from Sunday school teacher, evangelist, pastor, preacher, and he said, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace, the grace of God. And he received that grace of God. And what we've been teaching all these years, all of a sudden, this young man is now saved. His life is turned around. And the people that will lure him back to evil things, they come and they say, come, come, come. He said, no. Why? Because now the grace of God that came to his life has touched him personally. That's why we need the grace of God. And I pray the grace of God in your life will not be dormant or dumb in Jesus' name. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all. It appears to you, appears to you, appears to everyone. And it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness. You know, before the grace of God comes, you can hear 1,000 sermons. You can attend so many crusades. If the grace of God has not come, all that we're teaching well. We're teaching the truth. We're teaching transformational message. But there's no change until you raise up your hand, you open your heart, you open your ears, and you say, come in. Come in today. Come in to stay. Grace, come. And when that grace comes into you, it will begin to teach you to deny ungodliness and to deny worldly lust. Worldly lust. How can I explain worldly lust? Because it comes with different thousands of branches, worldly lust. And the one that appears to you, the one that is your worldly lust, I may not have mentioned, but the grace of God inside there that will teach you to deny worldly lust, and then that you should live soberly. You know, sometimes we see somebody is too flippant, is too frivolous, is foolish. He does foolish things, and we call him and we say, look at this, look at this, look at this. Live sober. You say, yes, sir. He goes out, and out of his heart, frivolity will still come. Out of his life, foolishness, the foolishness of sinfulness will still come. But when the grace of God really comes, the grace of God is coming to you today. And everything I said you didn't understand, the grace of God will so teach you, you will be sober. Righteously, it teaches us righteousness and godly. And then he said, in this present life, when you listen to, you know, preachers, we'll try to teach and teach and teach. You make the conclusion inside you. Okay, holiness, I get that when I get to heaven. Today, no way, no way, not possible. When you listen to teach, even great teachers, great evangelists, you'll say, okay, in the future, I live godly, I live righteously. But the grace of God comes in. And when the grace of God comes in and he says, teacher, go outside, preacher, go outside, let me teach this candidate for heaven. There's somebody there tonight, candidate for heaven. Yeah. I said, that's where you see the candidate for heaven. Yeah. Amen. You'll get there in Jesus' name. When the grace of God takes over. That's why we're talking about the grace of God, because that grace will enter your life today. As you say, yes, Jesus, because he is full of grace and full of truth. And he is the one that brings the grace into our lives. When he teaches you, we will know, we will recognize that the grace of God has come to you and he has taught you effectively. And now you're able to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. You see, the people who have not been taught by the grace of God, they might hear 100 times, 1,000 times about the coming of the Lord, the hope of his coming. When they hear, they just forget it there. And when they get to the office, they're forgotten that Christ is coming. When they act, when they interact, they're forgotten that Christ is coming. But the grace of God is the one that comes into our hearts. And when it comes to our heart, it turns our eyes, our focus, our view towards heaven. And he makes us to look for that blessed hope. And he makes us to look for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He makes us to remember every time, Jesus is my Savior. I am a saved soul. And because I am a saved soul, I cannot go that direction. I cannot do that thing because the teacher, the grace of God that brought salvation and maintains that salvation is remaining in your life. Amen. Really, I love your melodious, soft amen. It's wonderful to hear amen from Liberia. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, who gave himself? Final. We don't have to give. You're giving money. Money and himself. Which one is greater? You're trying to give your human effort. I want that grace. I want that salvation. I want that forgiveness. All right. You already gave himself. And you don't need to say, okay, when I gather enough money and I bring the money, then I can have the grace of God. No, he gave himself. When I give, you know, some sweating and I roll on the ground and I suffer, then salvation will come, grace will come. No, he gave himself. And the salvation you need is already available because he gave himself for us, for me. Think about that, me of all people. He gave himself for me. God bless you. Say that again. If somebody gave you $100, oh, you say, this man is great, this man is wonderful. But the $100, you finish, go to the grocery, you finish it within a short time. $8,000. You finish it in a short time. He gives you a car. Wonderful, wonderful. What a great gift. The car, one day, in your lifetime, will rust and will not be able to carry you anywhere. He built a house for you. He gave a house, a whole house to you. Wonderful. But the roof will start leaking in a few years. And all the things inside will not. But Jesus, greater than the car. Jesus, greater than money. Jesus, greater than any possession on earth. He gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's what he does in our lives. He redeems us from all iniquity. Say amen. Amen. There are peculiar iniquities. In the country where I'm coming from, there are some peculiar iniquities of people. In your country here, as we look at your neighbors, Look at yourself. Look at the one riding a vehicle, motorcycle on the road. And look at all the neighbors. There's a peculiar iniquity. And you share part of that peculiar iniquity. And when you see that peculiar iniquity, you are not surprised anymore, because it's in you, it's in her, it's in him, it's in everyone. But the Lord has come with grace for you. Yeah. That no matter the peculiarity of your iniquity, tonight he redeems you from all iniquity. Say an amen that makes you receive. Yeah. And then it says to purify. To purify. Shout to purify. Adam, Eve could not do that for Cain, to purify his heart. That's why when he became jealous of Abel, that's why he killed him. Because appearance cannot purify us. David could not purify Absalom. Why? Because the king, even though the king is his father, the king could not purify his heart. And as you look at life and you see the pollution in your heart, you see the degradation in your life, and then you confide in your parents, they pity you. They pity the pollution, but they cannot purify you. You confide in a religious figure, but they pity you. They say, pray. I've been praying. Fast. I've been fasting. This impurity in my heart is pushing me to do something impure. Something that will injure other people. I don't want to do it. And the religious figure cannot help you and purify you. But the only one that can do what you could not do for yourself, his name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. Somebody help me shout Jesus. He will purify your heart, and he'll purify you unto himself, and you'll become a peculiar person, zealous of good works. It's not something that, you know, I try. No, there's no trying anymore. You trust the Lord, and the Lord will make you a peculiar saved soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Another good amen. Amen. Look at number two here. Number two is the guiltiness of refusing the great escape. I just mentioned somebody now, Cain. Cain saw Abel. Abel offered unto the Lord a lamb, signifying, looking up to the Lamb of God that was to come. And he received forgiveness. He received transformation. But Cain had not received. And so he was down. He was unhappy. And God spoke to him and said, Cain, why is your countenance down? Look at what Abel has done. You can do the same. The fruit of the ground that you came, that you bring to me, that one cannot give you forgiveness. It cannot give you the joy and the hope of heaven. Look at that. You have the sacrifice. Take that. But he refused. That is the reason why He didn't have the forgiveness. He didn't have salvation. He didn't have eternal life. The people who refused. There was one man, they call his name Manasseh. He was the child, the son of Hezekiah. And he's called a great man of great faith. And that child even became a king. But the prophets came to him, and the prophets spoke to him, but he didn't answer them. He didn't accept the message. He refused, and he suffered terribly. And there is one man, his name stinks in the ears of all people. His name, and nobody since the time he lived and died, there is nobody that will give his name to any child of theirs. His name, Judas Iscariot. Christ called him, and Christ chose him, and Christ showed him the way of escape. Christ even spoke to him particularly, personally. He said, Judas, that thing you're planning to do, if you do it, what will happen? It were better that you were not born. But he refused. He refused the love of God. He refused the grace of God. He refused the power of God that could transform his life. I will not refuse. Today, as you hear him calling, and you hear of his love, and you hear he died for you to take away your guilt, to take away your condemnation, you will not refuse. Because all the people that refused in the past, they could not escape. In Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading there from verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. More earnest heed. We should be in a hurry to accept Christ, in a hurry to accept the salvation of the Lord, to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Which we have heard. What have we heard? We have heard of the faithfulness of God to make us escape. What have we heard? We're hearing of the grace of God to make us escape. What have we heard? We've heard of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything, and he gave himself for our salvation. And we need to give them all an heed to the things which we have heard. Then it says, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I just thank God for you that you are not the kind of people that will reject something good. Look up here. If I put my hand in my pocket and I offer you $1,000, US dollars, will you refuse? No. You'll get it. If I then offer you from the book of the Lord salvation, which will make you live at peace and joy forever and ever, if I say, come, look at this eternal life, will you refuse? God bless you. Say, God has blessed me. The people who refuse, and they refuse the offer of eternal life, they're guilty, they're condemned, they're lost forever. But you just told me now you will not refuse. Yeah. truly, you will not refuse. You're going out of here tonight with the joy of salvation. Point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the goodness we receive with a glorious escape. The goodness we receive with a glorious escape. You're receiving tonight. I am receiving tonight. And what you receive will give you life spiritual, life physical, life, healthy life here on earth. Can you imagine somebody that goes through life, no pain, no sickness, no disease, no sorrow? That's you. Because look at this, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus. Have you noticed? Everything is by Jesus. All those references I read about the grace of God, Jesus. About forgiveness, Jesus. About freedom, Jesus. About the grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present life. Everything on Jesus. The redemption, everything on Jesus. Now he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Now that is very important. Sometimes in a country, somebody says over there, the Jesus of Monrovia, that one cannot save. I said that one cannot save. I said that one, the Jesus of Monrovia, there, he cannot save. You know, sometimes you come to Nigeria and you say, there is one man there, Jesus of Lagos. Don't go there. That one cannot save. Have you heard of Jesus of India? That one cannot save. Salvation, healing, eternal life, joy, deliverance, power, dominion is from the Jesus of Nazareth. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Who went about doing good. Who went about telling me it's going about tonight. It's coming to you there. Going about tonight, coming there to your side. And when it says doing good, what does that mean? Double-sided good. It takes away what pains you, and it gives you what gives you peace and pleasure. One hand, it takes away. That's doing good. When somebody comes to you and it takes away your pain, takes away your perplexity, takes away your problem, that is doing good. And tonight it comes to you, it'll take away your condemnation, it'll take away your damnation, it'll take away every bad record that have been written concerning you up high. Because all the bad things you have done, all the sinful things you have done, they're written down. But Jesus tonight is going to get that book from the Heavenly Father. And he'll say, that Father, give me that book, the book of records. And the father will say, what do you need it for? That person there is accepting me as his personal savior, her personal savior. Every bad thing on record concerning him, my blood, which is the strongest melting anywhere, will wipe off every bad thing you have done. Doing good, taking away, and then doing good, positive, adding joy to your life, happiness to your life, healing to your life, miracle to your life. He went about doing good, healing all, wonderful all. So I too, I will be healed. I said, I too, I will be healed. What I've taken to the doctors and they couldn't help me because they are limited. Now Christ tonight, you bring it to Christ, he will heal you. He will set your brain aright. He'll open your blind eyes. He'll unstop your deaf ears. And the tongue that has not been able to pronounce word perfectly is going to make you speak well today. And that wheelchair is no more your property. It will take you from the wheelchair. It'll take the wheelchair away from you. Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of that, he's still going around healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with him. Tonight is your night. You will not escape miracle. Miracle will not escape you. You know, as the miracle power of God is going around, it comes here, then it passes by. You say, hey, miracle, I'm here. Don't pass me by. Healing will not pass you by. The authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost will not pass you by. Salvation will not pass you by. But you know, the people that say, okay, I go to church, I'm all right. No, you are not all right. So like the person who goes to school and says, I'm all right, and there is no subject that entered the brain. I go to school. That's not enough. The thing must enter your brain. And I go to church. That's not enough. The salvation of the Lord and the grace of God must enter your heart today. And it will enter. Where are you? It will enter. I said, where are you? It will enter. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can tell the Lord, raise up your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I've heard. And I take earnest heed to what I have heard. I will not neglect salvation. I will not refuse salvation. I will not reject salvation. Christ, I open my heart. Come in now. Come in today. Come in to stay and be my Savior. Raise up your hand. I want Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive your sin, to make you free, to break the chain, the shackle of sin away from your life. Raise up that hand. God bless you there. God bless you there. Tonight, the joy of salvation will come in. Tonight, the freedom that comes with salvation will come in, and the grace of God will enter into you, and he will now be your personal teacher that you'll not go astray anymore. You're raising up your hand, please, you will stand up with your hand raised here at the Alpha location and there online, anywhere you are. God bless you. God bless you real good. Raise up your hand and stand up right there. And as you're standing up, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I'm standing up to receive you into my heart, into my heart, into my heart, into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay and abide with me, with your salvation ever. You raise up your hand, you stand up. Don't refuse. Don't neglect. Don't reject. Salvation has come for you. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry for every bad sin I have put myself into. I'm sorry for my peculiar iniquity. I'm sorry for the things I've done to offend God, to offend heaven. No excuse, no excuse, no excuse. And I now give my heart, my life, give everything to Jesus Christ, that now Christ will be my Savior. Receive him. Come in now. Come in today. Come in to stay. In Jesus' name we pray. As you have asked him, he has come into your heart. That's why you have the joy of salvation now. That's why you have the assurance in your heart now that he has come in. He has forgiven you and he has set you free. Amen. 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 Keep that hand up. As we're standing up, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you because we know whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All these who have raised up their hands here and online, over the radio, over the television, thank you, Lord, that your grace has appeared to every one of them now without exception. And we pray the grace that saves will be the grace that keeps them from worldly lust, keeps them from every sinful act of the past. Set them free. Lord, set them free. And let the grace teach them to live soberly, to live righteously, to live godly from now on in this present life until we see you all face to face in Jesus' name. Amen. We know you've written their name now in the book of life in heaven. You have erased everything that had been written against them in the book of records. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got it. I got mine. Say it, I got mine. May be permanent in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm moderating overseer tonight to please come and lead us in this time of counseling.
Praise the Lord. the great grace of the Lord had found you. And by the grace of God, you have escaped. Clean escape. Please, all the informations that our counselors are asking from you, please render all. Counselors, please take detailed records from them all. And for those of us who are watching online, and you have also given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ after the pastor's message this evening, you will notice a link on your screen. gckheadquarters.org/connect. Please visit it and fill out the form so that we can assist you further in your new work with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who listened via the radio or television, and you also gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, please send your name, your phone number, and your location address via SMS or WhatsApp to take note of the number very well, +234 915 444 9263. I repeat, +234 915 444 9263. Please send SMS detailing your name and your phone number and your location address to that number, or better still, WhatsApp. And for those of us here at the Alpha location in Monrovia here, you will be expected to join us at a special lunch hour meeting with the Lord Jesus for all those who are giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow here in Monrovia by 2 p.m. And the venue is right at the stadium here. You may look at where I'm pointing to beside the state box, the set of blue chairs there. Just report there by 2 p.m. What I mean by the state box is the glass enclosure there. Towards the left-hand side, the sets of blue chairs. Report there by 2 p.m. It's a special meeting. And you'll be further guided how you will maintain your escape that you have just got tonight from the judgment of God. You'll be well helped. So please be there in time, 2 p.m. here in the Alpha location. And our leaders in the various locations globally, let's please tell the converts where they'll be converging tomorrow and the time, well ahead of the crusade time. Please, if the counselors have not got to you, remain on your feet, please. Keep standing up. The counselors will soon get to you. And the counselors, you please make it fast. The Lord bless us and strengthen us in Jesus' name. And while we are doing that, please listen to this. There will be a special believers banquet for all those who gave their lives to Christ during this crusade, which began on 28th, that's on Thursday, and which will be finishing tomorrow by the grace of God. That special banquet will hold on Sunday the 5th, Sunday the 8th, I'm sorry about that. Sunday the 8th of December in Monrovia here. It will hold at the Capitol Bypass, opposite the House of Parliament, at the Capitol Hill, directly opposite the House of Parliament. We'll be waiting for you to receive you there. And the time is 3 p.m. And please, our leaders across the globe, let's announce the same to hold at the same time on December 8th. Give them the appropriate time over there and the venue. Thank you for that, please. I must mention this, that at the launcher meeting tomorrow, for those of us who are in the Alpha location here, a special package awaits you there. And the special package is a special gift of the convener of the GCK, and that's our Father and the Lord who administered to you tonight, and who is still coming to minister to you for your miracles. Miracles of escape. So you'll receive that special package tomorrow. Those who are there today and who are there in the previous days, they got theirs. I was an eyewitness there. As people were coming, they were receiving the special package. So you will receive yours tomorrow. Let's hasten up, please. Please, if we are finished in our various sections, just wave. The counselors should wave so that we know you are finished in your sections there. It appears directly opposite the pulpit here. We are finished. At the stands, please. Let's wave if we are finished. But if you are not waving, that means we have not finished. I'm seeing some. Okay. Oh, thank you very much. It appears we are finished. Now. Everybody say now. It's your escape time. There are some things you did not even know you need escape from, but the prayer of the man of God will fish them out for you tonight. And there will be a complete escape for you in Jesus' name. Amen. That is already here. You are welcome, sir.
Amen. Amen. My time of escape has come. You'll escape that sickness, that disease in your body. That disease will flee away from you. At the mention of the name of Jesus, you're healed. I am healed. Raise up that hand and believe. I believe. We're praying now. You lay the other hand where you have the challenge, where you have the sickness, where you have the disease. Father, in the mighty, all-powerful, irresistible name of Jesus, Lord, bring your healing upon everyone in Jesus' name. Yeah. You are the way of escape from every sickness, from every disease, from every attack and affliction. Lord, I pray, bring that healing, that deliverance to everyone now in Jesus' name. Every pain in your body, I command, come out in Jesus' name. Pain in the head, pain in the stomach, pain in the bone, pain in your joints, pain almost everywhere in the body, going around, I command, come out in Jesus' name. The root of that pain, the disease that brought that pain. Lord, I pray every plant you have not planted in any life, anyone, uproot it now in Jesus' name. Blindness taken away from your eyes. Deafness, numbness taken away from your body. Swelling anywhere in the neck, at the back, in the tummy, in the legs, in the hands, in the armpit, swelling, come out in Jesus' name. All those disturbing voices you hear that will want you to run your mad, I command that demonic, satanic voice be silent right now. And all your distraction and all your destructive plan, I cancel it from that life, right now, in Jesus' name. That so-called incurable disease, your cancer is healed. Cancer at any level, cancer at any stage, be healed now in Jesus' name. Ulcer, you're healed in Jesus' name. Respiratory problem, you couldn't breathe properly. All the things that block your breathing and all the passage, I remove all that now. Be healed in Jesus' name. High blood pressure, be healed in Jesus' name. Diabetes, type this, type that. Diabetes, be healed in Jesus' name. Sickle cell and the pain of that sickle cell, the weakness of the bone and your system, sickle cell, be healed in Jesus' name. With that hand, come back to normal in Jesus' name. Short leg, grow out in Jesus' name. Lameness, paralysis, be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, take their crutches from them. Take them away from the wheelchair. And I pray everywhere now, to the right, to the left, to the front, everywhere, online, on radio, on television, power manifestation in Jesus' name. You are healed. You are healed. I am healed. In Jesus' name we pray.